Great to have you with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, there are a lot of 30th anniversaries for our state this year. It's the 30th anniversary of the Packers Super Bowl winning season, 30th anniversary of a very rare F5 tornado in Oakfield, Wisconsin. And you know what? It's the 30th anniversary of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and that's where we're going today. Friends of Wisconsin State Parks and the Knowles Nelson program as well. And we're gonna get into all of that today as we talk with our guest. Seth Taft is the executive director of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. He says that 2026 is not only an anniversary year for his organization, but an extraordinary turning point for it as well. We'll talk with him about that, what makes this year such a pivotal one for his group and for Wisconsin State Parks as well. And as we move along today, I hope you'll join in. What state parks and recreation areas are you visiting? Are you concerned about funding for land and water conservation in Wisconsin? What worries do you have about outdoor recreation in our state? I hope you'll join in. You can give us a call. The number 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Seth Taft, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me on here. It's exciting.
So you're relatively new to the job, although you've come with a lot of experience.
Yeah, I've only been in this role as executive director since, oh my gosh, summer of last year. And boy, has it been an experience, to say the least. To just where I got to this point as executive director for the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, which we'll talk a little bit about who we are as an organization here in a moment. So my background is pretty diverse and robust. I'm actually by trade a professional archaeologist. So I went to a two-year UW campus, Baraboosaw County, or Platteville, Baraboosaw County today. Then went to La Crosse and got my bachelor's in archaeological studies, focusing on the Wisconsin pre-contact periods.
Yeah.
And then went to grad school up in St. Cloud State, and then took off and worked in the National Park Service and Wisconsin Historical Society and Minnesota Historical Society and other private engineering firms. So it's been an adventure. Sometimes I feel like I'm John Muir. But I've also been in the nonprofit sector. I've been very passionate about our state parks and public lands, right? So an avid user, recreationalist in the Boundary Waters. Also in our beautiful 118 different properties across the state that really are part of Wisconsin identity, or yeah, make Wisconsin identity.
And Devil's Lake was a particular interest to you, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct, yeah. So it's in my own backyard. I live in Baraboo, and it's a beautiful space. It's the most visited state park in Wisconsin. I think last year it was, 2.4 million visitors in an acreage that is about 10,000 acres. So that's a lot of people in a year round. And so it's a beautiful space. It's right there on the edge of the Driftless region. It's got beautiful trails. It's got wonderful panoramic view sheds, natural history, cultural history, of course. So being a social media director for a number of years for the Friends of Devil's Lake State Park made that connection even more personal and more wonderful.
So let's turn to the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks in a little more detail. What's the mission first? Let's start there. What's the mission?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, which, as you mentioned, celebrating 30 years young this year, is basically serves as like the umbrella to over 65 friends groups all across the state, each of them associated with their own state park, forest, trail, rec area. And they are all doing so much in terms of their volunteerism, stewardship. And so our job as FWSP is to connect, enhance, educate, and bolster what our friends groups do in supporting their missions in terms of stewardship, education outreach, community engagement, and just showcasing what these public lands do in terms of for local communities, tourism, as well as for outdoor-based education, as well as turning for, being a great space for, health, physical, and mental.
Yeah, absolutely. And I imagine that, I mean, this has kind of expanded over the years, has it not? I mean, you started pretty, started fairly small.
Yeah, it was basically, I think, just like any other friends group, it's pretty grassroots established, right? So you start with a small, you know, like-minded people that are passionate and enthusiastic, and it has now grown exponentially where, you know, each year now we supply our friends groups when they apply an incentive grant. So anything that they need, a one-to-one matching of up to $3,500, where if they need something in terms of accessibility projects, education, events, planning, even just helping the understaffed and underfunded state parks, forest trails. So we have grown quite a bit in these years.
And also, I think, in being instrumental in maintenance of the state park system. How instrumental are you, really?
In the maintenance part?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that our friends groups all across the state do so much in terms of volunteer stewardship days. So as we know, the parks are drastically underfunded and well understaffed, which is very unfortunate because these are beautiful spaces that, again, as I mentioned, are really big part of Wisconsin's identity. And so what the friends groups do, especially as we come into the warmer seasons, well, hopefully it's coming soon, you know, they do so much in terms of trail maintenance, invasive species cleanup, you know, helping with aging infrastructure, with buildings from as far back as like the CCC, as well as, you know, helping to preserve and protect and educate on some of these really sacred and cultural sites that are located within the properties.
Yeah. Well, let's turn to the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And I was around when that when that whole program started. Warren Knowles, the Republican governor, and Gaylord Nelson, senator. So we had a Democrat and a Republican putting this together. For anyone who doesn't know about it, give us the background. What's it all about?
Absolutely. I think it's important to talk about where its humble beginnings came from. So as you mentioned, Larry, it started with Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson, named after these two individuals from both on different sides of the aisle. But they saw in the middle that the public lands, our public spaces, are so instrumental in what makes Wisconsin, Wisconsin, and our different regions. And so they felt that it was important to create a program that funds things for like land acquisition for public lands, natural areas, forests, state parks, doing conservation land purchases through land trusts, also helping with not just, you know, the state lands, but also at municipalities, right? So there's you probably can go around the city of Madison or up in the community of Baraboo, and you'll see a sign that says, yeah, this Riverwalk was helped and supplied through the funding of Knowles Nelson Stewardship. So it's done so much since its inception in 1989. Unfortunately, now, last year in the state biannual budget, you know, it's always been a part of the state budget, but last year, Joint Finance cut it out of the state budget. So it's been, since then, last year and right now as we speak, it's been quite a roller coaster ride in its reauthorization.
And it was in the to begin with, I think it was authorized like 10 years, was it not? At a time?
Yeah, like in the early years, there was the initial funding for it in the early years was pretty small. So it was around, I think, about $25 million a year. But it was in the 2000s where things really bolstered in terms of funding. Like around, I think, in the mid-2000s, it was around $86 million per year. It was reauthorized for 10 years, which was wonderful. So it was an era where, you know, the parks were expanding. The visitation numbers were starting to grow. Ice Age Trail, National Scenic Trail, was also getting more popularity. And the Alliance was doing incredible work on that. And like the conservation landscape was just about protection. And so that was when we started to see some great funding for Knowles Nelson. Up until, you know, 2015, where there was drastic change in funding models for both like the state parks as well as for Knowles Nelson, where eventually that annual funding dropped to about $33 million per year.
So we were, where does that place us in terms of other states?
Yeah, so aside from the conservation program, if we look away from that and just focus on, you know, like capital development and maintenance, pre-2015, we were probably up in the top 15 in terms of funding being spending per visitor at our state parks. Once that user funding model happened in about 2015, where now the user funding is just through primarily campsite reservation fees, state park trail passes, as well as parts from like Knowles Nelson. It drastically reduced the funding. So now we, as of last year, became ranked 50th in the nation for
last.
Dead last. Texas is beating us. Holy cow.
Oh, man. So what happened? I mean, why? I mean, we're looking at a $2.5 billion surplus in the budget in our state coffers.
Right. And then we're also having a $1.5 billion in counting in backlog deferred maintenance for our state properties. So it's like, what's going on here? Typically, if you go to visit some of these properties, the untrained eye, you might be recreating. You might not really notice that aging infrastructure and so forth. Why is this? I think that there's just different administrations, different lawmakers have seen that money needs to be pooled elsewhere in different ways. And unfortunately, just, our public lands have taken sort of the back burner, unfortunately, and not recognized of what they truly do in so many means, from public health. They're probably the most affordable health care, honestly. That's one of the things I like to brag about, for physical and mental well-being. They draw so much in terms of tourism. They do so much to bolster local communities and small business growth. Governor Evers announced on Monday, for example, that, for the third record year, the outdoor recreation industry really did so much for Wisconsin with $12 billion in growing in cost or what was coming in. So it's just remarkable that, we know that these public lands do so much, but why aren't we financially supporting them?
Yeah, that's interesting. Jonah in Appleton has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jonah.
Hi, thanks for having me on. So, as we've been talking about bipartisanship in decades past versus the modern era, what are a couple members of the state legislature, perhaps a more obscure one than the governor, that you can see or would like to see work together with their expertise in a bipartisan manner to fund public parks?
Ooh, good question. Thanks for that. Everybody. I truly would. I think that, at the last where the Senate session took place on February 18th, where Knowles Nelson, the Senate bills were supposed to be on the calendar for vote and then unfortunately were pulled off. It was very unfortunate. But, that afternoon when they returned to after recess, seeing Senator Habersinikin trying her darndest to let's just try to reauthorize this for one more year, because the expiration date for Knowles Nelson right now is June 30th of this year. And the Senate session is going until, I believe, March 19th. So we're just a few short days away before they adjourn. So, I would like to just see as many people on both sides of the aisle come together and see that these public lands are vital. I don't think it's just about dropping names and which lawmakers and legislators. I think that it's a necessity to have the general public contact their district representative saying, hey, do you know what this Knowles Nelson has done, in terms of, raising over, about $1.3 billion in helping support projects throughout the state since the inception of the program. I think we just need to keep contacting each of our representatives and telling them, please advocate for these beautiful spaces.
Jonah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Seth Taft, who is the executive director of Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. Great to have him with us. Questions or comments or maybe an experience to share of your own relating to the parks. I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you're a member of the Friends group. I'd love to hear from those folks as well. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you listening in today. Larry Mueller here. Coming up at noon today, we'll talk about the health and environmental benefits of an eco-friendly diet. That's at noon. And then 12:30, we're diving into all things Canucopia with Rutabaga Paddle Sports owner and chief paddling evangelist Darren Bush. He'll be in the studio with us as well. But right now, we're taking a look at the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. with Seth Taft, who is the executive director of the group, and talking a lot about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. Questions are about the park system, about the Friends Group, or maybe about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you can shoot an email to talk@wpr.org. Ron in Rhinelander, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling, Ron.
Good to be with you, Seth and Larry. Larry, you ask a good question. You said, why isn't the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program being funded? And the answer is because our Republican legislature is working with the American Stewards of Liberty. That is a Texas-based group who has now infiltrated the Northern County's comprehensive planning. And this was the group that worked really hard against the Pelican River Forest Project. And one of our candidates for governor goes down to Texas and speaks at this group's annual meetings. So look it up. There's been a lot of news articles on that. But it's all about mineral extraction and timberland resource extraction. They're all for that. So their plan is to defund that so that there isn't any need for it to be conserved. They also delist endangered species. So if you don't have eagles and wolves in there, well, you can go ahead and mine it or extract all the timber. So that was a good question, Larry, and that's the answer. Everybody look that up, American Stewards of Liberty and their connection to one of our candidates for governor.
Hmm. Well, Seth, comment there?
Well, I just appreciate you sharing that information and relaying that. That's nothing to my knowledge, at least, so it's always good to learn and always to see what's out there. But I think, yeah, one of the things I want to touch on is, you know, from Ryan and I, we're talking about in the Northwoods country. And I think that's something that we should really talk about, too. You know, we have quite a few friends groups located up in that region throughout from, you know, Pattison and Amnokin Falls State Parks, Copper Falls State Parks, and so many others. There's friends groups associated with those. And so what Knowles Nelson particularly does, and these are some issues that we saw presented in the proposed Senate bills for Knowles Nelson reauthorization, is, you know, our friends groups do depend on these quite a bit to do through single phase projects, multi-phase projects in tandem with property managers. And so, you know, one of the things that we identify is some of the restrictions that they placed with, you know, requiring 50% matches and so forth. This, you know, it's hard to find corporations, organizations, or other people to help support that match that you get with Knowles Nelson. And in the Northwoods, you know, that I feel that's a pretty tough yeah. sell. So, you know, I think it's really important to try to also keep this reauthorization alive with a good quality backing that will be a support for not just those friends groups that are located in larger populated areas that do have some great connections, but in particular are the ones that need that
yeah.
or never.
Sarah in Decorah, Iowa. We'll go to you now. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for calling. Oop, we lost Sarah. Not sure what happened there. We'll get her back. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 or shoot an email to talk@wpr.org. So the current proposals, I mean, what's going on? You mentioned one proposal just to get it going for another year.
Yeah, so maybe it's good to just backtrack just a little bit about
yeah.
what has led up to this point
yeah,
where,
let's
you know,
do that.
Their timing is really critical and of the essence. So when Senate and the Assembly came back into sessions at the beginning of the year, the Senate Committee on Financial Institutions and Supporting Heritage took up the Assembly bills that were passed through the Assembly floor to address these, then to proceed to the Senate floor for action. So on February 3rd, that the Senate met in a public hearing and to talk about these. And it was quite a coalition of incredible organizations that came together from hunting and fishing, recreation, land trusts, you know, from, you know, Gathering Waters has been the spearhead of this. You know, Charlie
yeah.
Carlin over there at Gathering Waters has been doing so much to voice and advocate. All came together as strong voices that day for the hearing. And then on February 13th, the committee then proceeded to take this to vote, which passed by one vote, 3-2, in favor of the bills moving forward to Senate. Then the Senate bills then proceeded on to the Senate calendar on February 18th, where they're scheduled to take action, speak, do any amendments or discussion, and then do ultimately a vote. Unfortunately, that day, they pulled the bills from the calendar for vote because there was not enough Republican backing. So then they were pulled back to the Senate Committee on Organization, and that's where they've been sitting since. And as I mentioned earlier, the Senate session is, you know, set to go at least tentatively by no later than March 19th. That's when they're going to adjourn. So it's, what, March 11th now? So there's only a few days remaining between now and then that hopefully, big hope, that some action can take that will help reauthorize Knowles Nelson. There's been multiple different proposals between last summer and now. These current bills are Republican authored by Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston. The Democrats put together their own separate bills to reauthorize Knowles Nelson. So they asked for, $72 million and then have it reauthorized through 2032. There was a breakdown of different things in turn, like having a board of Knowles Nelson stakeholders that would help review the grant process and see who's up for whether land trust acquisition, land management, and so forth. But that has not seen the light of day. So it's been the proceeding has been moving forward these Republican authored bills.
Mm-hmm. I got it. Sarah is in Decorah, Iowa, is back with us. Let's go there. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I just wanted to put a plug in for the Wisconsin State Park System and to your listeners to please call when they call their district representatives to let them know of the highly valued tourism aspect that your state parks have. There's many people like me that don't live in Wisconsin, but we travel through Wisconsin. I travel through Wisconsin at least once a month, and we vacation in Wisconsin. And we spend money in Wisconsin, and our primary draw is the state park system. And the lovely trails, the parks, the system that you have is just a treasure, and it needs to be preserved. And public-private ventures like the Knowles Nelson law needs to be funded. What a fantastic thing you guys have.
Sarah, thank you very much for calling. Well, Seth, I can't imagine you're going to find much to disagree with on that.
Oh, gosh, no, absolutely not. I will stamp that one over and over and over, wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, I think she mentioned that should continue to be emphasized over and over again is to contact not just the state park system like the DNR, but especially, as you mentioned, the your legislators, your representatives of your districts. Tell them, we talked about, you know, the Governor Evers announced the $12 billion outdoor recreation industry here in Wisconsin, what it's done for the state. We saw that there's the tourism revenue is continuing to grow. Like there was just over $24 billion that was announced last year. So we're seeing this exponential growth, and a lot of it obviously is through the public lands, in my opinion. So we have to show that an investment into our trails, our forests, our parks, the recreation areas, natural areas, which are celebrating 75 years this year. So there's another anniversary. That these spaces do so much for, you know, again, community engagement, growth, tourism, small business growth, and in addition to the aesthetics, you know, cultivating memories for family and friends, it does so much. It's a profound ripple effect.
Sarah, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Bob in Claybanks, we'll go to you now. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks for having the topic. I'm up in Door County, and I'm involved with several conservation groups up here. And our understanding from talking to both our state legislator in the assembly, Joel Kitchens, is that one of the key motivators for this change in the funding is the fact that the Supreme Court didn't allow an anonymous legislator to block funding for anything over $250,000 that came from the fund. I believe the problem with the legislature is they want control of as much as possible, and they lost control here. So I wanted to throw that in the mix.
No, Bob, thanks for calling. And Seth, are you aware of this?
Yeah, that was. I'm so glad that he brought it up because, yeah, it was in 2023 that Joint Finance Committee vetoed Knowles-Nelson grant approvals through an anonymous objection. A single anonymous committee member was halting any grant for any reason, and it was unchecked veto authority. So this brought up of, like, why would you do something like that? What was the reason? Governor Evers and others went in as co-plaintiffs to do a lawsuit, which happened in July of 2024, the following year. And the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled 6-1 that the anonymous objection and legislative obstruction was unconstitutional. So that was obviously, that's been panning out still. That's been still being felt. That February 3rd public hearing, it was brought up at the tail end of that public hearing. Senator Teston brought it up saying, this is the reason why we're here, is because of this Supreme Court lawsuit, which is just astounding. It's like, this should not be, first off, why are you objecting to approving Knowles-Nelson grants that do so much, and doing it anonymously? I think that's just an obstruction to, you know, democracy. And so I think it's really important that, yeah, that this needs to be emphasized of what occurred that is drawing this Knowles-Nelson from probably moving forward for reauthorization.
Mm. You know, if you think about the Supreme Court and went 6-1, so that's liberally oriented Supreme Court justices, conservatively oriented, shouldn't that be a message to the legislature that...
Yeah, no, absolutely, it should be. And, you know, last year at Governor Evers' State of the State address in 2025, you know, it was being highlighted as the year of the kid, he mentioned about the reauthorization of Knowles-Nelson, wanting to be reauthorized for 10 years at a much higher funded level. And so, you know, it showcases that there was a need of this needs to stay around. It's, again, the emphasis bipartisanship. This is a bipartisan program. There shouldn't be any separate bills. It should be about discussion and compromise, obviously being realistic about how to fund it. But, you know, knowing that this does so much right now for a set of public spaces that are drastically underfunded.
Let's go to Tom in Menominee next. Tom, hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I'm a longtime listener. I don't call very often except when it deals with sports or other activities. But I'm an author. I'm a writer. I'm a teacher. I taught for nearly 40 years in the technical college system and at UW-Stout. But anyhow, the first thing I'd like to say is there's a lot of ways to raise funds for activities like you people are having. One of the creative ways, I think, is to utilize the community a little bit. I know the Green Bay Packers could possibly put tickets available for a raffle, and all the funding that would be raised would be used in support of a lot of activity. So that's one of the ideas I have is fundraiser. The other thing I did is I've walked the Ice Age Trail with my wife. She's a 1,000-miler. She also walked the Appalachian Trail. I was the trail angel, guy that had to keep the car on the road, and drop them off and pick them up and make sure that everybody had food and water. When I was on the Appalachian Trail, I did a journal. I'm putting that journal into writing. I hope it'll get some positive publications. But to compare the two trails, the Ice Age Trail in Wisconsin is fantastic. It's a perfect trail for people that are over 60 years old because you don't have that elevation to worry about. Moving on to the Appalachian Trail, the elevation is tremendous. My wife finished the trail in 2024. She is a 2,000-mile completer of the trail. We did it in 11 months with my daughter. She's also in the same boat. But these two trails, just an example now, going to the Appalachian Trail, the people between Georgia and Maine will tell you they make a tremendous amount of millions and millions of dollars annually with the amount of camping areas hostels that they have along the trail, and Wisconsin needs to have more hostels and camping areas that are free or very low priced.
So Tom's offering a couple of things here, I think. Maybe we can talk about that. One is fundraisers. Are there fundraisers out there right now for in different parts? I would assume some friends groups have fundraisers.
Oh, absolutely, including ourselves, right? So each one, depending on what they need, what is outstanding for their properties, projects they want to complete, whether it's, you know, updating or upgrading trails, creating better accessibility, doing with washouts, or just, you know, helping with, you know, maintaining some of the old aged, like CCC buildings that still are a defined character for these spaces. Mm-hmm. Each friends group does so much in terms of their own fundraising efforts, whether putting on, you know, great education-based programs, concerts in the park, that's always a big one, and so much more. What's great about Friends Wisconsin State Parks is, you know, we have this opportunity to work with the Department of Natural Resources. And last year was the 125th anniversary of the state park system. So we were welcome to be part of that initiative. And one of the things that happened last year was with a cooperation with the Milwaukee Brewers. We had a Wisconsin State Park fundraiser night. So, you know, four sections were reserved out. $5 from each ticket sale went to help the Friends Wisconsin State Parks, which then helped support whatever DNR's needs were for mm-hmm. any of the properties. And so nice, we're doing it twice this year. We're going to be doing it again this year. It's going to be a game against the Cubs later this summer.
Ooh,
so more.
That'll be full.
So be on the lookout. I think it's going to be also in cooperation with the Smoky Bear's birthday. So be on the lookout for more information. So we strive to find those means and sources to do unique, fun fundraisers. And the same can be said for all the 65 friends groups, each of them trying to find their own unique way to solicit monies and, you know, memberships too, annual memberships to support their missions.
So I think Tom's other comment related to facilities along the Ice Age Trail.
Yeah, and so you know, that's definitely in the purview of the Ice Age Trail Alliance. You know, they're the big organization that oversees a lot of stewardship practice with their own local chapters. So we're kind of similar in our sense that, you know, the Alliance has their own local chapters throughout the state that are affiliated with their own segments of the Ice Age National Scenic Trail. But of course, the Ice Age Trail does go through some various state properties. Through, you know, obviously on the western terminus you have Interstate State Park, the eastern terminus mm-hmm. it's Pottawatomie, yeah. And then they're sprinkled in between. Devil's Lake State Park has bifurcation portion of it. So it's a matter of, you know, how do you work with local communities, private landowners, campgrounds to, you know, facilitate? You know, you mentioned about Trail Angels, and they're all wonderful chapters. Members, volunteers do so much effort in that.
Do we have them here?
For Trail Angels?
Yeah.
I'm sure we do. I think actually, you know, being a Baraboo guy in the Sauk County area, I know that there are a couple friends from that Baraboo Heritage Hill chapter of Ice Age Trail. Mm-hmm. They do some great work as Trail Angels, picking up people, dropping off, providing mm-hmm. supplies, or anything in need.
Our guest today, Seth Taft, Executive Director of Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and we're certainly talking about the Friends of the State Parks and the state parks themselves and the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. Experiences to share relating to the parks or the program, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we talk with Seth Taft, Executive Director of Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. Questions, comments, and experience to share? Join in the number 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Marsha in Verona has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Marsha.
Good morning, I guess. Yeah. 2 points. I've been a camper in Wisconsin for 35 plus years, and I've seen how it's very hard these days to, you know, get a site, which is good. But so I don't mind paying slightly more for my campsite, and I definitely think out-of-staters should pay more as well. And my other comment is, over the years, back and forth, when people don't show up for their campsite, it's gone back and forth where you are given 24 hours and then the campsite is given up for someone else who might want to use it, because you didn't show. These days, if I'm correct, if you reserve it and you've paid for it, it can sit free the whole time that you have paid for. And I think that's kind of a disservice, and it's not very respectful for people to think, well, it's only $80, big deal. I just think that that's one thing that they could do. One, raise the fees. Two, put it back to where if you don't show in the first 24 hours that you've kind of lost your site.
All right, so a few things there from Marsha.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for that. Those comments, especially garden camping. I think it's wonderful across the state. Obviously we have quite some highly trafficked spaces, well sought out spaces. Whether it's Dells Lake, Peninsula, Kettle Moraine, those are the top three most desired spaces to camp and recreate. So it's always good to reserve early, think ahead. I mean, it's always part of that New Year's goal for me, at least when I go to like the Boundary Waters getting my permit. So it's it's kind of similar in terms of like the reservation.gov with the national lands with the state parks. So yeah, the fees, you get them on there. And while you're also doing your campsite reservation, this is also kind of a selfish plug for FWSP. As you go through that reservation process for your campsite, it'll get you to a prompt where you say, would you like to supply $5 donation to the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks with your reservation? So we also have that with the reservation system with the Department of Natural Resources, which is really, really wonderful and helps with the funding for things like our incentive grant for our 65 Friends groups. Unfortunately, when it comes to that reservation model, when people pay for it and they no show, it's unfortunately out of the purview. I can't speak on the behalf of the Department of Natural Resources. What I can say is, sometimes it's an absolute bummer. You want to camp there in advance, you are planning ahead, and unfortunately it's all booked. And unfortunately that's on the person that's reserving that. And maybe there's an emergency, maybe not. It's out of our bandwidth to determine that reason. But there should be a recognition of at least going on, because you can go onto the DNR website. You can go, because you get that a notification, upcoming booked stay. If you need to cancel your stay, please go through the following prompts. You can do it. It's not a problem. So I think the communication's there. I think just people really need to really initiate on that if something does occur, that you have the amount of time to cancel that reservation. When it comes to, in terms of fees, the fee model is really variable because some, depending on, if it's a highly trafficked and well loved state park, especially for camping purposes, that funding model, that fee reservation can be a little higher, especially for electrical sites or RV sites or even just the primitive tent site, where if you go to those lower visited parks or reserved spaces, the fee for reserving a campsite might be a little bit lower. So it's quite variable throughout. But I think that there's some spaces where maybe the fee should be reduced. This is my personal take. As a recreationist, but also in some places, I think that the fee could be bumped up a little more.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure what the range is on fees. You may not be either. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, let's see. I did, what was it? It was a couple weeks ago, I did a reservation, I think up in Door County, and I think it cost me for like a two night. It was getting up there nearly $100.
Okay.
So it could be pretty costly.
Peninsula?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, that's... I'm sure the most visited park in Door County.
Mm-hmm, it is.
I've spent many hundreds of days in that at Peninsula and all the parks actually in Door County. So, but then other places you can go for
Yeah, like Merrick State Park over on the west side of the state, which is like right alongside the Mississippi River, just north of Trempealeau, Winona. Last year when I was doing my tour, meeting the friends groups, and what I always wanted to do too with that is be sure to camp, you know, get the full experience. Mm-hmm. And so when I was reserving my campsite there at Merrick State Park, it's a very small property, but with some beautiful trails and boat landing and accessibility and campsites right along the Mississippi River. Just fantastic. And it was very affordable.
Much less.
Yes.
Okay. William in Middleton, we'll go to you now. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call, Larry. I have a couple questions and a comment. I believe your person said that this has been going for over 30 years or about 30 years.
The friends group, yes.
And you mentioned that you are way under in terms of having enough money to cover the staff and the maintenance. And there are some negative effects on local areas when you remove that land from that area. It does cost the school and other areas that they don't get that income that when the land is owned by a private person. Finally, why would you buy more land when you don't have enough money right now to take care of what you have along with your staff?
Yeah, interesting questions. And I don't know what percentage of Knowles Nelson goes on a typical year to purchase of land. But.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, I do not know the answer to that question myself. But I think he brought up some really good points regarding this potential negative effects for, you know, putting land towards public land from private landowners, as well as, you know, why buy more land when we already have. And I think those are really good points. And when I came into this role as executive director, I had the opportunity to meet with Representative Kurtz, who was one of the co-authors for the Republican-led Knowles Nelson stewardship bills. And my question also was raised of, you know, I pride myself in being a cooperating partner with folks like Gathering Waters to focus on land trust and acquisition, but also see, you know, obviously our issue is we are very understaffed, very underfunded. So if we don't have the wherewithal to help with maintaining what we currently have, why invest more into how to acquire more? And I think that is a fine line to walk on. Right. So I speak on behalf of the land management practices. And so these current proposed bills for Knowles Nelson, and that recent public hearing back on early February, you know, Teston and Kurtz did talk about, you know, these should be seen more about operating for land management maintenance. But again, the funding was being, you know, reduced drastically with Knowles Nelson. There was a lot of tighter restrictions. You know, they were asking that the DNR must inventory pass the proposed land acquisition. They should reduce the funding and just reauthorize this till 2028. That's not going to help land management either. So we got to figure a means that will balance both, you know, the means of being proactive with land trust and acquisition, but also really emphasizing, at least on my accord, of we need to really figure out how can we then provide good quality for management practices and support these underfunded and understaffed properties if we're not going to see that within the Knowles Nelson itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, William, thank you very much for your comments. Joe in Ironwood, Michigan. Your turn. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Putting the plug for the Friends of Copper Falls. As a member of the Friends, 2 years ago, a new pavilion was established within the park. This is the first time a pavilion can be rented because it is new. It is an engineering marvel. And it can be rented for anything that you wish, finally, after all these years. And number two is that there is an in-holding within the park, 40 acres. We had very willing sellers, and so it was purchased by the Friends. The mortgage can be retired now through the help of Knowles Nelson and also the North Country Trail Association, of which I am a member. So a lot of work went on with them, some very dedicated people, outstanding accomplishment. Thank you very much.
Joe, thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, I'm so glad somebody came calling in from that area. I really appreciate the Friends of Copper Falls State Park and what they do in tandem with the North Country Trail Association chapter up there. What I can say definitely is Copper Falls State Park has had 13 projects funded by Knowles Nelson or supported by funding through Knowles Nelson that accumulates to about nearly $1.5 million supporting these projects. And that includes not just the picnic shelter that, you know, was being mentioned there, but also a pedestrian bridge, helping with building repairs, erosion control, and also most recently trail accessibility, creating a more friendlier use of getting people to see the beautiful view shed and walk the waterways and the river there. So I really appreciate that call from Friends of Copper Falls State Park. They are truly an incredible group up there.
Well, and that's an incredible park. I love Copper Falls.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time there, too. Spent a lot of time in a lot of the state parks.
I'm glad to hear it, Larry.
As a matter of fact, lovely place, lovely place. Tim in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Tim.
Good. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Seth, for this great program. I'm an 80-year-old retired Coast Guard 50-ton captain, and I just want to say how important Knowles Nelson is in funding public access to our unbelievable waters in Wisconsin. If you go along the Fox River today, you'll see all kinds of fishermen that are out there during the annual walleye run, and they're just going bananas out there. And most of those access sites are either partnered through state funds or the county picks up the cost there. I spend many, many hours, days out on Rock Island off of the tip of Door County. And what the Friends are doing out there is just amazing since they took over the island. And the Pottawatomie Lighthouse out there that has been completely restored is a true gift that takes us back to the early founding fathers of Wisconsin, and it's an unbelievable. When my wife and I drove by the public access in De Pere, where you couldn't find a place to park, there were so many boats there yesterday, we saw trailers from Arkansas, and they just attract a ton of people.
Yeah, Tim, we got comments, Seth? We're getting up to time
here. Yeah, we're getting close to time here, but I appreciate that. And a call, too, to it's just, again, an example of that Knowles Nelson has done so much statewide, from Friends of Copper Falls in the north to the tip of Door County with Rock Island State Park, with their three projects alone that accumulated to over nearly $320,000. So the Knowles Nelson has done a lot to help support the longevity for these beautiful spaces that really provide and bolster Wisconsin's identity.
So you're charged to those who are listening today, get in touch with your legislator?
Get in touch with your district legislator, your representative. Do it now. March 19th is the tentative end date for adjournment for Senate, for floor session. So we really need to make loud voices, be strong in this time where it seems like it's pretty quiet. Just this display that Knowles Nelson is a necessity. It is a beloved program to help enhance the conservation legacy that has been defined in Wisconsin, that's been a reference for so many across the nation and the world. So I strongly encourage you to contact them. Go on to teamknowlesnelson.org. Great support, great resources there to take action. Contact me, execdir@fwsp.org. I'm happy to talk, touch base, provide more resources, and just help you bolster your voice in contacting your legislator.
Yeah, and even information probably on how to get a hold of your local representative.
Yeah, you can find that also on our website and find your legislator. There's a public website that you can just put in your address and boom, it just shows what district you're in, who your assembly representative is, who your senator is, and then they give you the direct confirmation, contact information. So go on that. Again, go to knowlesnelson.org to find more of those TK Action resources.
Seth, it's been a pleasure. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Seth Taft, Executive Director of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, supporting more than 60 65 friend organizations around the state. Great to have him with us, and he gave you your orders, so go ahead and do it. Oh, man. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the news, and we'll look at the health of the environmental benefits of an eco-friendly diet. That coming up next. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.